It's my job here to bind your sins to you to see that you go to hell. That's my job. And it's my job for every believer to remit their sins to see that they go into heaven. That's what I'm here for. And that's what I'm going to do. Both ways, I'm going to do it. So when you meet me at the judgment, I'll be standing there at the judgment, still fulfilling my office on the day of the judgment. Now then, I love you, and I appreciate every one of you. And I try to tell you just exactly what I understand that God would have me to tell you. And some of you are so callous and hardened that it'll never do you any good. It'll just be judgment upon you. But there's a few tender branches that's coming forth. When our leaves is tender, she put forth her fruit. Then you know that summer's nigh. But some of you that's been brought up in the Baptist and the Amish and the Methodist and the Presbyterian and the Catholic and the Church of Christ and the Pentecostal and the UPCs and all of these, you're not going to listen to me. You're going to do what you feel like doing. But there's some of them that's been brought up in the gospel. And they're going to follow me. And they're going to honor me. They're going to obey me and do the things that Christ commanded them to do. And we're going to go on into the kingdom of God together. The rest of you just going to fall by the wayside. And I'm not going to fuss and fight with you and feud with you. In every church, they have a continual feuding, fussing and fighting because of the backslidden people that will not go on with God. And I'm not going to get into it. I intend to take mine that are flexible, them that God has given me. Jesus said, I've not lost a one of them. Every one you've given me, I'll raise them up in the last day. I intend to take them and let the ones that feel that they're preachers and prophets and leaders and elders and all of this other thing that they feel like that they've done this and the different things, let them do what they want to and take my little flock that will bend and follow me and go on into the kingdom of God right on over Jordan. Let the others do like they want to. And I've found that you can't make people do anything. The Bible teaches that you can't make that which God hath made crooked straight. You can't straighten it up. If God's made it crooked, you can't straighten it up. There's no need to mess with it. You can't change the leopard spots. God made them that way, and that's the way they're going to be. The Bible said the sow will go back to her wallowing in the mire and the dog to his vomit. Jesus said it doesn't matter how much you take them to church, how much you wash them, how much you dip them and perfume them up. If they are a dog or a sow, when you get through, they're going right back to their place. And their place that Jesus described is their mind. Their mind is either a mire, a mud hole of mire, or either it's vomit. Or either it is the mind of God, the kingdom of God. And they're going to go to whatever they're called to go to. And it don't make any difference. They're going to spend their time slushing around, as I said the other night, in that old mind of jealousy and resentment and fault finding and of contrariness and of not being interested in the things of God. And if they ever do a little something, they're going to jack themselves way up on a pinnacle up here somewhere to where that you can't control them anymore and they've been better off if they've never done nothing. You know, the one thing that Jesus got upset with the Jews about is when they did do a little something, they put themselves up on a pedestal up there and got upset with them, and he just emptied the whole thing out and walked off and left it and went over there to the Gentiles, and they hadn't done nothing for God. He said, I'll find somebody that loves me over here. So he went his way and found somebody that wasn't choking to death over what they had done. So if you do something, if you fast a little and pray a little or give a little and then you choke yourself to death over what you've done, then it's still no good to God. Did you know that? But if you can give and do everything you possibly can and share with God, and then when you get through, say, God, have mercy on me. I'm nothing but a wretch. I'm trusting in the grace of God to see me through. Then the Lord will receive you, and your gift is honorable in his sight. But you know, when the man beat himself on the chest, and he boasted about what he'd done, the Lord just turned to a fellow that said, Lord, I ain't done nothing. Just have mercy on me. That's the way it is, folks. Did you know that? That's the way it is. All right, let's read just a little bit. I felt like this is what the Lord would want me to read right here. I almost preached it a few minutes ago, and it looks like that we are still running right in harmony together. In the book of James, chapter 5. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your misery that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborer who hath reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanting. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. I'd like to just talk with you for just a few minutes on some things here. Exhort you and encourage you to do something for Jesus. I've got some thoughts in my mind that I'd like to bring out one night, perhaps. I won't get to them tonight. As a matter of fact, I know I won't, because I don't have any intentions of doing that unless the Lord speaks to me. But I've got some thoughts concerning the redemption of the body that I'd like to bring out. Maybe one night, if the Lord permit, we'll bring them out. But tonight, I'd just like to exhort you a little bit. We've already had quite a bit of singing, and I wasn't intending to get into the Scripture at all tonight. I thought maybe I might just exhort you a little bit and encourage you a little bit to do something for God. But I felt a number of spirits here. I didn't feel but one when I first come in. But after a few minutes of talking, I began to feel over the audience, I could feel a resistance that shouldn't be there from different ones. And then I began to feel maybe a person here and there begin to pop up with the wrong attitude. And when you do that, then I have to preach. When you do those things, then that means that the preacher is not through. He's got to keep preaching till he busts every clod, until he can get every clod busted and run every devil and demon out of the church. It's his job to keep plowing until there's nothing left. No devils, no demons, and everything is completely pulverized. Every briar and everything has gotten out of the field, so that when we lay it off, we can throw the seed in and not have any repercussion from the tares later. We've got to root up everything, break up everything, tear up everything. When I was a little boy plowing out in the field, I had a two-horse plow, And I throwed it into the ground, and it dug way down deep. And when I got through plowing, I mean, I really turned the ground up. I mean, we had a big plow. When I got through, the ground was really turned up. And I saw snakes going this way and that way, and frogs and bugs and weasels, and everything just running every which way. And then we'd go back with the harrow. We'd cut it up real good with the harrow. Just chop it all to pieces, you know, just chop it till it was just pulverized. And then we'd go back with the drag harrow, and we'd drag it until it was just as clean and beautiful. Just pick up a handful of it, you know, and just almost like silk going through your hand. Then when we got through with it, my granddaddy would get us together, and we would lay it off, and then we'd start planting it. And brother, sister, when we got through planting it, then cultivating, when that crop came up, we had a beautiful crop, and it wasn't just all messed up with weeds, because my granddaddy made us keep every one of them pulled out. We always had a good crop, great high corn that you could walk under the tassel, way up above your head like that, great big ears. And when we go to dig potatoes, we'd have great big hills. You could just see a beautiful field, just clean and beautiful, with nothing but beautiful vines from hill to hill, just running all around. And when we would dig, we'd get great big huge potatoes, and just bukus of potatoes, just fill up a basket in a few minutes. That's the way we raised our crop. That's the way that God wants it. As long as we've got anything in the church or anybody in the church that's just hypocriting around, just playing around, or just half and half and not going on with God, then it's necessary for the preacher to throw the plow in and keep on plowing. All right, so then we still got hindrance. I notice when I get ready to do something, I run into an old snag. I run into an old root. I see an old serpent stick his head up, you know. And I know right then and there we hadn't plowed the field quite good enough, you know. And so we have to start all over. I want us to get to the place that when I get up here and talk about Bibles, or I talk about doing something for God, it's not just a third of the congregation that will respond, but all of the congregation will respond to do something for Jesus. I want to come to the place, Jim, that when I come in here and talk about God, that I don't feel a bunch of hypocrites coming back at me like that, but I feel people that's mellowized their heart in God, that's got rid of that old carnal mind, and that old rebellious spirit of carnality, and that I can feel that will get in with me and flow in the Spirit of God. You know, some people, they spend all their time eating and feeding their belly, and that's all they ever do. They eat, drink, and eat, and drink, and sleep, and eat, and drink. And feed their belly all the time, riding around uptown, wanting to buy clothes, wanting to get furniture, wanting to get this, wanting to make money, wanting to save money. They don't have any interest in the spiritual things of God. They are forever interested in the things of the world. And when they come to church, they're, a lot of times it's just like a bunch of devils that came in when they come into the church. Because an old carnal mind is enmity with God, and all they think of is eating and drinking and fussing and feuding and jealousy and always fault finding. And it's just a bunch of devils that come into the church that is a resistance against the Holy Spirit and against God and against God's plans. But you know, when we get people that fast and people that pray and people that read their Bible and people that grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and people that leave off old, filthy, dirty magazines and get rid of Sears and Roebuck, get Sears out of their house, so to speak, that is, throw that garbage that they've got in booklet form into the garbage where it belongs, and all of the other things that's coming from different stores, and quit sitting around drooling over half-nude women and half-nude men and over things that they want always in the lust of the flesh. When they get rid of that and come to the house of God, then we'll have some real services and some real get-togethers for God. The Bible said Moses was faithful in all of his house. I noticed in the last 3 days they brought from the mailbox, they must have brought at least three thick magazines from Sears and Spiegel's and I don't know where. And every one of them was full of trash. And I throwed it in the trash where it belonged. Now, I believe that we ought to have a clean heart and a clean house. If you've got any pictures on the wall that doesn't describe Christ, that's degrading, they need to go in the garbage can. If you've got any booklets or magazines coming to your house that doesn't glorify God, you need to throw them into the garbage. You need to get rid of them. We're trying our very best here at Little Bethlehem to have books for our children that are clean and holy and upright. And I've instructed Brother Taylor, our principal, to never allow anything down there that is not right. I don't want anything going into the minds of our children that's not right. I told him, I said, even if our children, those that are among us, pick up evil and filth, I want you to expel them from school or suspend them until their parents will come and get things straightened out to where we can have a clean school. I said, don't spare anybody, not even my own sons. I want them sent back to my house if they're not doing right. And I want to straighten things out. And I want a clean house here. Now, I appreciate the response that I got tonight. When I asked for Bibles, the people beautifully responded with their finance. And I think it was beautiful the way that they responded and the amount of money they gave. I'm very well pleased with it. Just on a momentarily thing. Just on the spur of the moment. But I'm not pleased with two or three people's spirits that I felt here tonight that's in among the congregation. And I'm going to keep on till I get you. It might take me a while, but I'll get you one day. I'm going to keep on till I cut that tree down and I get it out of the garden. It's like one of them that's left us, there's a family that left us. I was praying last night, I believe it was, and I looked and saw one of the men that that's left here, that left the congregation here, a person that was in here with us, a person that gave in the offering, a person that come to church pretty regular. But I saw that person in a vision. I've been concerned, been praying about him as well as the others, but I saw that person in a vision last night. And that person was drunk. That person came up to me and one or two of the brethren. We had on a nice, beautiful top coat. And that person said, had found fault with us because we had it on. I said, well, you got on one. Look, he had on a little thin thing. And he says to me, he said, this could get to be like Saul, he said, speaking of him own self in the vision. It was evident that he was speaking of his own self. And I looked and he was drunk. Drunk, and he was going to people's homes that was drunk, that was partying and just wanting to go here and there. There was another brother with him. Both of them was drunk, looking for a place just to lounge around and fall around. But the vision makes me to know that God is dealing with him and that he's on the outside of the things of God and that if he doesn't do something pretty quick, it's going to be just like it was with Saul and God's going to cut him off because he has a knowledge of God, but he isn't doing anything about it. Now, you here, you are in the same condition. Did you know that Saul has to do with the denominational church? Did you know that? Did you know that Saul has to do with hypocrites? And Saul has to do with people that are backslid? People that are not doing anything for God? That's just sitting around doing nothing? Did you know that the revelation of Christ shows that there's a Saul move that's in the world out yonder? And that Saul move that's in the world out yonder is contrary to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Contrary to holiness. Did you know that? That move out there is a fleshly move desiring the things of this world. That's the only interest that Saul had was the things of the world. And many of you tonight have no interest at all in the things of God. You don't pray, you don't fast, you're not spiritual, you don't seek God, you're not interested in winning souls. Your mind is on your belly and on getting gain and doing the things of the world. That's exactly what this fellow was doing in the vision. He had turned in the same evil, corrupt manner that Saul had turned in and was going after the world like Balaam. I've got a woman or two here in the service, and they are just as much like Balaam as they can be. They're just as contrary as they can be. It doesn't matter what I say here. Their spirits are just as bullying, just the same. Same old hard, callous spirit that's concerned about the things of the world. Same old boisterous bully, dominating spirit. Don't you know that's a devil? God made women to be tender. Now, I don't mean tender to just fall over in your arm and lust after you, know, and act like a little lust devil, you know, so everybody will lust after them and they're so sweet. I ain't talking about that deceiving, undermining spirit. But I'm talking about being sober, being grave, not a put on, but being tender and being sweet and being kind and filled with understanding. That's the way God made woman. woman gets to be a big boisterous thing. Joe, I'm going to have it this way, and Bill and Jack, I'm going to have it this way. That's a devil. Did you know that? That's a devil. Man is supposed to be the head of his house. Isn't that right? God is the head of his house. Isn't that right? If you're going to be a boisterous woman, then out there, then God won't have any part of you. He'll divorce you. He'll put you away. Did you know that? You have to come God's way. If you sit there and surmise in your mind what you think about it and what you feel God has shown you about it, you're going to be God's enemy. That's what a lot of you do. Instead of following the Word of God, following the things of God, and getting in here with the ministry and with the Word of God and trying to win souls and do something on the home front, you just go through the same old routine of being rebellious and figuring it out in your mind, leaning to your own understanding, and feel you got a revelation and sit around and do nothing year after year. If you had a revelation, you'd have done something years ago. When a person sits around always thinking about what they're going to do, what they're going to do, that's the devil. Did you know that? How do you know that's the devil? Somebody said, well, God sits around like that. God doesn't sit around like that, and neither do people of God sit around like that. The Bible says that we wait upon the Lord, but the way we wait upon God is in prayer and in fasting. And the Bible said, I must be about my Father's business. I must get up. I must do something. I must go and do something, not just sit around and expect the church to take care of me, or trying to sit around until somebody else dies so you can root him out and get his wife or get his position. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Half a dozen women standing around watching a man thinking, well, what if sister so-and-so dies? I know I got a husband, you know, but I better keep my eye on another one just in case. Well, he looks all right. In case mine passes away, well, we probably could get together. Some man doing the same thing. Ain't that something? Oh, you say, now, Brother Pike, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Same way with half a dozen preachers sitting around waiting for another preacher to die, hoping that they can jump into his shoes. And if they ever jumped in his shoes, they'd be ready to jump right back out in about 3 minutes. We stand around and we watch everybody else carry the load. We don't do nothing. We just sit there. Let the others pray. Let the others fast. Let the others give. Let the others sacrifice. Let the others win the world. But I'm just going to be a good old Christian and believe in Jesus. You're not a Christian, you're a hypocrite. There ain't no such Christian. Did you know that? There ain't no such Christian. It sits around and lets the brother and the sister take the load. There ain't no such Christian. It goes around thinking about who they are and what they are and what they're going to do. That's not a Christian. A Christian is somebody that seeks God, that loves God, that thinks about what God is, what God's doing, and what we can do with God in our lives. That's God. That's a Christian. See, a Christian is one that gets out, and if he can't give but a dime, he'll give the dime. And if he can get to where he can give a dollar, he'll give a dollar. A Christian, not one that comes in here and sits in here with me like some of you people do, and then gets out here and go all around through town and all around everywhere and through the neighborhood and everywhere you can go in and break down and tear down and ridicule. And you know, I was just thinking about somebody that really put their finger on our brethren. Some of our brethren made a sacrifice, tried their best to give to God, and some of the others went out and put their fingers on them, so to speak. And they blackballed them around the paint stores, and they blackballed them around the businessmen. They blackballed them with the brethren, and they talked about their business and what they was doing and their name and how clean they were in the sight of the businessmen, you know, and just blackballed our brethren good, and them making an effort to do something for God, struggling just to survive. But did you know I got a report on one of them people the other day? One of them that was at the very top that I warned. And right now they're struggling, and the people that they went to blackball our brethren, now the people are blackballing them. You understand what I'm saying? God has his way in the good and the evil. You can't go and talk against God's people and do things against God's brethren out yonder and expect God to let you off the hook. God isn't going to do it. You know one thing that he told Moses when he come across the mountain? One of the things that he inserted in his conversation with Moses, he said, God or I will in no wise acquit the wicked. He said, I'll see that the wicked pays for their sins. I will not justify the wicked, Moses. That's one thing that I won't do, he said. So then, when we do wicked, you say, well, Brother Pike, I'm not doing wicked. You're doing wicked every time you think an evil thought contrary to God. You're doing wicked. Did you know that? It is wicked for you to come to church and not have holy thoughts. It's wicked for you to go through the day and not have holy thoughts. Every thought is supposed to be brought into subjection to Jesus Christ. Not part of them, but every thought. As I said before, I've got some women here. I don't see how their husbands live with them. In their spirits, when they come in here, I can feel their thoughts. I can feel their thoughts. I can feel their evil, carnal thoughts. Bully thoughts. Boisterous evil thoughts. I don't see how their husband lives with them. I don't see how he could love anything like that. But God bless you for doing it. Keep on, and maybe after a while you'll cast the devil out. And you'll be able to do something for God. Maybe you'll have a happy home. But there's one thing about it. The devil might not be in your wife, but he's in your home and he's on her. And a lot of times he's in her. There's ministers here. That your wife, there's devils that's got a hold of your wife. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, ministers, and the devil has a hold of your wife. That's bad, isn't it? It's bad, like one that just found out that's been smoking and doing evil for a number of years. I told my wife years ago, she sat in my congregation, supposed to be a real holy woman, outstanding woman, fast 21 days at a time. I said, I can't help how much she fasts, whatever she does. I said, the woman ain't right with God. The Holy Spirit shows that she's not right with God. And they found out she wasn't right with God and hadn't been right with God for years. So fasting, that don't mean nothing. Just because you're going to fast, that don't mean nothing. See, you got to be holy. You got to be clean. You got to be just. You got to be upright. You got to conform to the Word of God in this way of life. Did you know that? This is a straight gate. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. You love Jesus? All right. So then I felt tonight that I should talk to you about Jesus. Listen to me, folks, men and women alike. Get your mind off of natural things and get your mind on the Holy Spirit. If you don't, you're going to go to hell. Brother Pike is not here to tell you pretty bedtime stories. You're going to have the right kind of spirit. Are you going to burn in the flames of hell? God said so. It's my job to tell you. He didn't send me here to make a bed of flowers and to pretty things up and to make it look good. He said you'll die and go to hell if you don't live right. You say, what's living right? Having the right kind of spirit. If you don't have the right kind of spirit, you'll go to hell. Now you say, what is the right kind of spirit? The right kind of spirit is the kind that don't lust, that don't think evil thoughts, that is not interested in the things of the world. The right kind of spirit is the one that don't find fault, that's not always fighting, it's not always a bully type thing, not an ugly disposition. The Holy Spirit has anointed that spirit of cleanliness and righteousness. The Holy Spirit and a Christian spirit is one that doesn't feel like he's anything and God's everything. It's like my son David said today. He said, well, everybody's got something. Everybody believes something. Everybody says something or preaches something. I said, that's true, David. I said, you're learning what I learned many years ago. I said, the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes. I said, but there is a way that's right. I said, and I found the way that's right. Hallelujah. There is a way that's right. Somebody said, I guess it's your way. Yes, it's my way. That's the way that's right. I got it right here in my hand. It's wrote in the book. It's my way. It's the right way. That's the only way. So you thought it was your way. You love Jesus? All right, the devil can't win for losing, can he? He don't know which way to go. Like a rat hemmed up in a room. He can't get out. He can't find a hole to squeeze through. All right, so I love you. I think you're great folks. And I think the response that you give at the time that I need it is so terrifically. And I preach to you like half of you is backslid and half of you probably are. But nevertheless, I feel that most of you love Jesus. I really do from my heart. But I got two or three here that's very religious. They got religious backgrounds and they're a thorn in my flesh. It'd been better if they'd been born to heathen and lived a heathen until I got them converted to Christ. But they've got a religious background, and it's just like the Jews. It's the one that caused Jesus trouble was that old more holy than thou spirit. That was the thing that caused him trouble. The drunkards, the harlots, those that didn't have nothing, didn't know nothing, and know there wasn't anything, he didn't have any trouble out of them. But the ones that felt like that they were leaders and prophets and elders and preachers and whatever, he had trouble out of them all the time. That was the ones that gave Paul trouble. The rest of the people, the Bible said, heard him gladly. So then we need to get unreligious, just as unreligious as we can, and get born again and get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And then we'll submit to leadership. I like what Denny told me today. Denny said, Brother Pike said, when I first come here, said I didn't do right. He said, the reason, said, because, said, I didn't know leadership. He said, I thought leadership was me. And I said, yeah, that Denny. Denny was just confessing for you, save you the trouble, that's all. Confessing because the Lord couldn't get you to do it. He's confessing your faults. I said, well, you don't know. Yes, I do know. That's what I'm here for, is to know. He was confessing some of your faults. Some of you feel just exactly like Denny said he felt. But there is leadership, brother and sister, and it's not you. It's him. How many of you agree that it's him? There is a body of Jesus Christ in the earth. And the Bible said his ways are not your ways. His desires are not your desires. His plans are not your plans. What he's going to do is altogether from what you got planned. So then what we need to do is submit ourselves to God, surrender to God, have patience and peace. And when we come to the house of God, be in such a condition that the preacher don't have to preach to us, that he can just get up there and bless us and teach us and feed us the heritage of Jacob. Make us ride upon the high places of the earth so we can enjoy the things of God. I guess God will always have a snag or two here and there to cause the preacher to get stirred up good so he'll preach. If he didn't have a few out there to do that, then maybe he never would really get down to business like he needs to. You know, the Bible said Jesus was angry because of the hardness of their heart, and he preached them a good sermon. They come around with their hypocritical doings, and it got him real stirred up till he'd flip over the table and pop the whip a few times, and then he began to preach. So in the Old Testament, it was the same way. They get the prophets stirred up, and then the prophets would really preach to them. So I guess Jesus still does the same thing today. I notice in the New Testament, they got Paul so stirred up till he shook his raiment and said, your blood be on your own head, I'll go preach to somebody else. So it's always been that way, it always will be, that God has somebody there in the church. There'll always be devils and demons and what Paul called false brethren, false sisters in the church. In this church, I got false brethren in this church. I got false sisters in this church. But in the same church, I got true brethren and I got true sisters. But I want you to know that I'm not ignorant. I know that there's some false brethren in this church. And I know some of you, and I'm acquainted with some of you, and I know what your motives are. But I don't say anything. I do like Jesus. I just go on saying like he did to Judas' friend. I just continue on. I do like David did to Joab. I just go on. You've got a place to fill. And I just go on, just like I don't know, you know. But I do know. But I thank God for them that are loyal, that are holy, them that are pure. All right, stand with me, brothers and sisters. I feel better since I preached to you. Maybe the Lord wasn't pleased with me not planning to preach to you tonight. I just kind of thought I'd give you a break as far as you being weary and tired. And we'd go home, but maybe the Lord don't see it that way at all. Maybe he feels like that if you give that much time to the flesh, you ought to give him some time to hear the word. So maybe he's reproving both of us. That's good for us. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of God, to love the Lord, to believe in God, to follow after the truth and after the things of God and walk in the ways of the Lord. And to keep our hearts humble and sincere before Christ. You know, you can look into the eyes of a man that's holy and clean and sincere. And you won't find any wrong. You're not going to find it because it isn't there for you to find. But if a person's hypocritical, you look into their eyes and in a minute you'll make a discovery. You'll find out there's insincerity down in their hearts, that you're not right with God, that they're hiding things. The Bible says the righteous is as bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. So then, I want us to be holy. I want us to be clean. I want us to be bold. I'll always have trouble out of some of you because I've had trouble out of you ever since you've been with me. I'll always have trouble. So like Mitch said today, we need to do something for God. We need to redeem the time. You know, I've got too many people here that take the outlook. If we don't get it done today, we'll get it done tomorrow. If we don't get it done tomorrow, well, we got another day. I never have liked that kind of spirit. To me, that's evil. You should set a goal. God, we'll get it done today because we might not have tomorrow to get it done in. So we're going to do everything we can today. You don't know that there's going to be a tomorrow. Nobody told you there's going to be a tomorrow, so you don't know whether you got tomorrow to do it in or not. So when you take that outlook, you're wrong to begin with. Isn't that right? You're wrong to begin with. We should take the outlook. God, we're going to do it because you said do it. We're going to do it today. And we're going to redeem the time today. I never have seen anybody ever get anything done that always had plans for tomorrow. Maybe you have, but I never have. The only ones I've ever seen do anything was those that had plans for today. My plans are for today. I want to do everything I can today. Somebody will say, well, what are you going to do tomorrow? The Bible said, take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. For the evil is sufficient to the day thereof. When tomorrow comes, then it'll be my today. And whatever I'm going to do, I'll do it today. So then let's do something for God. Let's forget about planning for tomorrow because you may not have a tomorrow. Let's do something for God. Every day that you awake, say, God, I'm going to do something today. I'm going to give today. I'm going to pray today. I'm going to fast today. I'm going to help today. Which reminds me, I believe it just come to me. I hadn't thought of it before. Bill wanted me to be sure and remember this, I think, from the way he talked this evening. Tomorrow, you would say, he needs some help. Bill's planning for it to be his today. So, if any of you have plans for today, then when today comes, after we sleep a little bit, I want you to help Bill. You that's got plans for tomorrow, I'm sure that when Bill gets ready to work, your plans will be for tomorrow. Let's get together and let's see if we can do something for the Lord Jesus, folks. We got a letter from somewhere. We always get mail from abroad. Some sister or somewhere, I don't know just where, said she really appreciated the prayer cloth. She said that I'm feeling so much better since I've been wearing the prayer cloth. And she wanted us to pray for her and keep praying. I believe she wanted the books and tapes and messages, but said she was so much better. So let's keep sending out the prayer cloths and let's keep praying because people need help. How have you ever need healing, need help? Why, many times in my life I need it. I say, well, you must be a wicked fellow. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. Many times I encounter battles with the devil, things that seem like it's impossible to be able to overcome. But by faith in God, I overcome every obstacle. God continues to bless me, and we continue to go on in the glorious things of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. It's so wonderful to be here tonight and have a chance to exhort you. I'm going to ask you again, don't have an old Saul spirit. The thing that I saw in the vision last night, the man was really disturbed because he felt like that he had fell into that category of Saul. And I know that it's true. Many people have fallen into it. And he was so afraid that it was about to swallow him up. And according to the vision, it was. But in the vision, the beauty of it was that I had one or two brethren with me, several brethren that looked like that they were so precious in the vision, and that we were finding the favor of God and was well-dressed in His sight and in His presence and able to do something for Jesus. And I, as well as the other brethren, refused to get in the car and ride with those that were drunken. You know, the Bible teaches that you could be drunk off of the cares of life. Did you know that? And that day will come upon you unawares, in that you won't know when it's nigh at hand. So let's pray that it don't come on us unaware. Let's pray and believe God, or we'll be sorry. All right, the sister wants prayer here. We have prayer for Jim. I'll turn this mic on right here where we can use it. And take just a minute or two here to pray. You know, one thing we need to learn, and that is that people have need. When they come to church, everybody don't feel the way that you do. Let's get it done, let's get it over, and let's go home. You know, I pick up spirits a lot of times, and it's real grievous to me. I'll be standing back here, and I can pick up spirits long before I ever dismiss the people wanting to go. Whereas the Bible said not to be in a hurry to go from His presence. You better want to get to His presence. That's the only source of life. I said, well, I like His presence when I can walk around, Brother Pike, and do what I want to. The four beasts don't do nothing but just say, holy, 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 holy. They don't go anywhere. What it is, you like the flesh, that's what it is. When you get in His presence, it don't matter if you sit there for hours. I've been in His presence literally for hours and didn't care to go nowhere. Completely satisfied. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to drink. I didn't want to travel. I didn't want to move, because it was complete satisfaction. But I pick up spirits that want to leave, and if anybody happens to start down for prayer or anything, right away I pick up somebody's spirit just like, you know, like that. Oh my, we're going to have to stay another 10 minutes. You ought to be ashamed of that. And I notice that it's always the same carnal people that give me trouble in the service. That's the truth. I notice as a rule, it's always those that rather be out there baking cake or making dresses or sweeping floors or eating ice cream or riding about or going through TJY or whatever it is up there, you know. TGY, I believe they call it. You know, going through Sears or Spiegel's or someplace. Eating and drinking and riding. It's always the same people. Their spirits are just carnal. Just carnal. They just don't have any life with God. I don't know why they even come to church. I really don't. Because they're only a problem to the preacher. And they certainly don't have any inheritance with the saints. They don't even have their minds or spirits or desires or anything on God. No, the house of God. They're doing anything for God. I don't know why they come to church. The only thing I can figure out is a religious routine. They've gotten into a religious routine. The Baptists do it. The Methodists do it. The Pentecostals do it. All of them do it. I know hundreds of them that do it. Still don't live for God. Don't mean a thing to them. But folks, I don't want Bethlehem to be a routine. If we're going to make a routine out of it, let's close the doors. Let's put the locks on the doors. Sell the buildings and take the money and send it into the foreign mission fields. How many feel like that's what ought to be done? Send it to feed little babies' bellies over there that's hungry. Little old ribs protruding. Let's sell it. Let's get rid of it. Let's put it in the work of God so we can have a reward in heaven. Let's sell the campground. Let you move your trailers. Get them off there. Let's put them up. Put the thing over there where we can do something for God and have a treasure in heaven. Somebody say, I love Jesus. See, the way you drawed back on me, that tells me where you're living. Tonight, if I said, let's sell this campground, well, I'd have, tonight you're talking about sparks of flying. You're talking about people having Brother Pike for breakfast, dinner, and supper for the next few months. You're talking about a board meeting and folks coming together. I sure hit your sore spot, didn't I? You know what your sore spot is? The lust of the flesh. Bible said in the early church, they sold everything they had, laid it down at the apostles' feet. Nobody didn't say anything was theirs. They gave it to the needy. But that little spot of ground, that little house, that little bit that you got, you can't even share it with God, let alone give it to God, surrender it up. You can't do that. It's got you, folks. You're just going to have to admit it's got you. But I praise God for one thing. My treasures are in heaven. My treasures are in heaven. As I live before God tonight, it wouldn't bother me one iota. Not one. If God said, son, sell it all, lock, stock, and barrel, take every bit of it and put it in the mission fields. As far as I know, if the Lord spoke to me and I knew it was God, I'd never even think about it a second time. As far as worrying about it, I never would. I'd say, glory to God. Glory to God. I'm happy with it wherever He wants it. Though I know in my heart that He wants it here. And He wants you to live on the grounds. But folks, He don't want us to homestead. He wants us to be in transit in our heart and spirit for Christ. It's all right to homestead in the body as far as having a place to live and a place for your little ones in school. But let me tell you something. When you homestead in your heart, you're in bad shape. The song says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blues. Isn't that right? The angels have beckoned me to heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. All right, so let's love Jesus. Now somebody's like grasshopper said, well, glory to God, I'm glad that I see how much this thing means. I'm going to hop right on off. Hop right on off. When you hop off, we'll still be using it for the glory of God. The Bible said a fool and his substance is soon parted. So if you place no value on anything, you won't ever have anything. A wise man's substance is precious to him. He uses it for the glory of God. He knows the benefit of it. The Lord has put these things in our hands. If He's given you a business, be grateful. Businesses don't just come up out of nothing. God ordains businesses. If you've got a good job and you've got a mind to work, then thank God for it, because hundreds of people, thousands of them, do not have a mind to work. They have a mind to ramble and loaf and do nothing, support nothing and stand for nothing except their own desire, their own cause. That's all they do. Wandering stars, the Bible said. But if you've got a post of duty, then stand up for God and do something for God. Let's work together. But let's shake ourselves once in a while and see if we're really moving on with the preacher, or if we've homesteaded in our heart, if we're in rebellion, or if we're really with Him in everything He says. Listen, folks, tonight you're supposed to be with me so much that if I sold everything, lock, stock, and barrel tonight, you're supposed to be right with me, right down to the T. Boy, listen to them few amens. Somebody saying that preacher's really getting ready to do something. We better keep an eye on him. You sure better, because I'm liable to go out of here anytime. Just like a rocket. You can't ever tell. All right. So then, you're supposed to not only be able or willing to do that, to sell the buildings, the land, and everything else. But if I ask you to sell all of your cars and your clothes and just keep one suit, one pair of shoes, you're supposed to do that too. Amen. Jesus said, don't take but one suit with you. That's enough. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I'm talking about religion now. Real old time religion. And then besides that, if I say, come on folks, we're leaving Monroe and all this place, you're supposed to do that too. Amen. Where He leads me, I will follow. As well, I might go over, but I don't know. Grandma and Grandpa lives back here. This is my childhood, you know, somebody said. Like a man told me, he said, this is my flesh and blood. Well, see, my flesh and blood and bones is His. I'm relative to Him. Wherever He wants to go, that's all right with me. I don't go tell somebody we got this place up for sale. How many know news travels? I may have a half a dozen people out here trying to buy this place. Now, we're not wanting to sell. We built it so we could use it for the glory of God. I'm just trying to find out where you're living. As far as I know, it'll never be sold unless the Lord speaks, of course. If He speaks, then I'll tell you. But as far as I know, in my thoughts and His plans,
As far as I know now, he has no plans to sell it. He has plans to use it. But I tell you what, he's got some plans to get you off of it and put some people on it that's going to use it for his glory. Now watch and see. So then let's love Jesus. If you've got a business, use it for the glory of God. If you've got a ministry, use it for the glory of God. Whatever there is, brothers and sisters, in your life, use it for the glory of God. If it's a talent, use it for the glory of God, and God will do something for you. All right, you can be seated. Just be seated if you will, since these want to be prayed for. We'll pray for them tonight. All right. How about playing a little something on the musical instruments? Play on the musical instruments to create an atmosphere. It's a shame that you have to do that. Should never have to do that. People should be so musical. The Bible teaches that we're to make melody in our heart all day long, singing spiritual songs and melodies to God. The Bible said all day long, bringing every thought into subjection to the obedience of Christ. All day long. You know, I'll be talking to some of the brethren, and I watch a lot of times, and I watch the ones that accredit to themselves that they're smart, wise, sharp, got it figured out. And I'll be talking to the brethren. The others will listen for a little bit, and then they start their computer. They've got themselves programmed. It's about 9:30. Hope Brother Pike will hurry up and get through. And I look in a few minutes. This one's gone. That one's gone. This one's gone. The little faithful still be there. Them that spake often of me when I make up my jewels, he said, I'll remember them. One will be gone, another be gone. The few little faithful still be sitting there. Can't hardly keep their eyes open, knowing they got to get up early in the morning. The Lord will say to me, don't keep them too late, son, but talk to them a little more. They need feeding. They need strength. So don't worry about the others. Don't worry about the others. Let them go on. But I notice that. And we use all kind of excuses, don't we? We say, well, Brother Pike, we got to do this and we got to do that. And the Lord understands and the Lord knows, and He does. He does. He knows one thing, and that is your interest is not in spiritual things. He knows that. That's what it is. And you're not going to make any sacrifice to obtain unto them. He knows that. But He knows that there's some of them that their heart is hungering and it's thirsting for the things of God. And they're going to make a sacrifice to get those things as long as they can hold their eyes open. They're going to make a sacrifice to get those things. And I've talked to them many times when I was in a dying condition. I've been so foregone many times till I was just about ready for you to plant me in the ground. As a matter of fact, Betty probably recalls the time when we went to Illinois for the meeting. I'd been ministering to the brethren so regular that when I got to Illinois, I said, Betty, I'm going to rent two rooms here. You and the children can have one. I'm going to get in the other. I said, because I've been almost ready to cross over. I said, the Lord will have to do something for me. I said, to keep me from crossing over. I said, I know that I'm not going to cross over by faith. I'm going to make it because I've got work to do. I said, but I'm on the verge of crossing on over. And I got in that room and I prayed. And went off into a vision. And in the vision, I saw them roll the casket out. Here they come with the casket. Roll the casket right up. And I said, who are you looking for? They said, we're looking for Mr. George Pye. I said, I'm him. Roll the casket up. I got in. I put my foot over in the casket. Started to lay down. And then I caught myself and I said, no. No, I'm not going to die. I said, I've got some things to do for God and I'm not planning to die. And that's it. I'm not getting in there. So they looked a little shocked and rolled the casket on off. I come out of the vision and I started to recovering. Many times I've been that close to death. But God has always picked me up, always helped me. But I keep pressing myself. I don't have to do it. I don't have to press myself. But I keep pressing myself because I want to do something for God. Folks, we're just passing this way one time. And if we don't build some buildings for God, we don't plant some fields for God, we don't build some arcs for God, if we don't do some praying for God and fasting for God, if we don't print some literature for God or give some offerings for God or feed some hungry people for God or share some clothing with somebody for God, we're going to be in bad shape. We're just going this way one time. And I want to utilize all of the ability that I have. I want to utilize it for Jesus. Whether it's to build buildings or whatever, I want to utilize it for God. I don't intend to stop. If God will give me grace and give me strength, I don't intend to stop until I fold up. Just fold up. You see me up here preaching and I just fold up. Then you say, well, that's it. And then don't be surprised if I get back up. Because I intend to do something for God. Praise God. You love Jesus?